Bismillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to session two of the Musamma Self-Care Conference. We are with Layinka Sunny, self-transformation expert, and I'm sure you all know her. So Layinka, you may take it away. I'm going to come off video, inshallah, and hand the mic to you. Bismillah.
Bismillah, assalamu alaikum, ladies. Thank you so much for coming to this session live. I know some of you are like, oh, where's my tissues? Layinka is going to drop some truth bombs. I really hope everyone did come with a handheld mirror. That's something that I asked you yesterday during our session yesterday to bring with you, because I do want to take you through something, inshallah. But before we get started, I want to let you know that this is highly interactive. So this is, as Lisa Nichols says, I love when she says it, this is a dialogue, not a monologue. So we are going to be interacting. So make that chat box your friend. For those of you who are on Facebook, I can't see your comments. So I'm going to be relying on my Naima to read them out to me, inshallah. So to kick us off, what I'm going to be talking about really is the three dangerous myths about self-love. And before we go into those myths, I want you in the chat box to tell me, what is your definition of self-love? What does self-love mean to you? I'll just wait for you ladies to share. What does self-love mean to you?
Just waiting for the ladies to gather their thoughts, inshallah. Sister Fahia says, putting aside time to do things you enjoy. Sister Farheen says, self-love means to be loving, to be kind, to be compassionate and respect oneself. Rafia says, loving yourself unconditionally, flaws and all. Sherifat says, accepting yourself. And Mariam says, taking time out for yourself. Putting myself first, having boundaries and loving myself all the way.
Mm-hmm. Is that Farida Muhammad? My Farida Muhammad, I'm curious to
looks
know.
Like your Farida Muhammad.
Because that sounds like an answer from the program we're on together. And I'm grateful that you ladies are sharing all your thoughts. And I hope ladies on Facebook, you're also sharing your thoughts too. And the reason why I want to talk about self-love and the myths around self-love is because we are in an age where self-care and self-love and accepting yourself and all of that self stuff is big, right? And reclaiming your power and all that good stuff. And I'm curious to know, when it comes to self-love, what are your greatest challenges in terms of self-love? What's your number one challenge in the realm of self-love? So Jamila says, finding the difference between feeding my nafs, the ego, and authenticity. Interesting that. Jamila, is that in relation to my question about definition of self-love? Is that your definition of self-love? Okay, got it. Okay, so some of the challenges are actually finding time for myself. I think you might have some inclination to what I will say about that. Forgiving myself for my mistakes, which is a big one as well. Anyone else? What's your number one challenge with regards to self-love? Letting go of baggage. Accepting my post baby's body. That's wow. Do you know what? I would say that you wouldn't even be the first to feel that way. And you're not the only one to feel that way about accepting your body after you've had children. Accept my look with awe. knowing how to do it, to how to, okay, that will be addressed. Letting go of pain and quality time for myself, learning to say no and not having to explain, recognize that I need to love myself. So even just the recognition of needing to love yourself is the challenge, let alone anything else outside of that. Okay. All right. So we've got a real good collection of answers there. And it's not the concept of self-love, especially in the realm of, especially in amongst women, is often seen as a really challenging notion, because most of our messaging growing up culturally has been that women take care of others, women are there for others, women serve others, women are not seen as their own entity, but they're seen only in relation to who they are attached to, their father, their mother, their husband, their children, their employee, right? Women aren't typically seen as just as this in their standalone, in like as themselves. And so in this place where we're reclaiming ourselves for ourselves, there are loads of barriers and barriers, I would say, and obstacles for us to break. But there are some myths around self-love that I really want to debunk in today's workshop. And the first one is that self-care activities mean that you love yourself. How many of you have felt that self-care activities, running a bath, manicure, pedicure, taking yourself out on a date, is actually a manifestation of loving yourself? How many of you have thought and felt that before I dropped that particular myth? Sometimes felt that, not all the time. I did look at it that way. I feel these activities show love to the body, not the self. In sherry fat, that is interesting. Interesting. Okay, so the reason why this is a myth, right? The reason why self-care activities aren't actually a reflection of self-love. So taking care of yourself physically, taking yourself out on a date, buying yourself gifts, whatever it might be as a self-care, or even like a self-love demonstration, is not actually necessarily a reflection of you loving yourself. Because there are women, and maybe you're included, who will do all the self-care activities. They will go to the spa, they'll have the facial, they'll get their nails and feet done, they will go for the massage, they will take themselves out on a date, they will make themselves a cup of tea, run the bath. And yet in the background, they still have a degree of self-loathing. They still hate, dislike themselves to a certain degree. And so you can do all those things and still find yourself in a cycle of negativity and putting yourself down, even though you're doing those things. So people often think that if I am doing these self-care activities and showing myself love, that means I love myself. It's not true. It's not true. You can do all those things and still hate yourself. You can do all those things and still loathe yourself and think you're trash and think you're worthless and think you're stupid and think you're dumb and a waste of space. You can actually still do that, because it's just a matter of doing. But when it comes to self-love, I want you to check who and how are you being to yourself, not what you are doing for yourself, not the taking time for yourself, not the things that you are buying for yourself, but who are you being towards and for yourself? Because when you check that, you can put the activities aside and look at who you are being. I always say, people have heard me say it, that we are human beings, not human doings. And it's about checking the woman that we're choosing to be rather than just the things that we choose to do. And so I want you to do this. I want you to, right now, in the notebook that I know that you have, or the pieces of paper that I know you have, because you are here to learn and you're here to grasp everything, I want you to write down the three most common phrases that you say about yourself that are dismissive, that are diminishing, that are degrading towards yourself, that are just not very kind, unkind, right? I want you to write the three most common things that you tell yourself about yourself, okay? And when you've got that down, I just want you to type done in the chat box, okay? Three most common things you tell yourself on a regular basis. Okay, so we've got, Sharifat says that one of the things is that she doesn't have control over your emotions, okay? All right, so how many others have got those three things down? Just let me know with a done in the chat box. Cool. And the reason why I'm saying done, if you feel like sharing, you can share. That's fine. There is no obligation. But I want you to actually own it for yourself more than need to share it with us. I want you to own what you have written down. Okay. So you've got these things down. And I want you to get that handheld mirror out. And I want you to look in your own eyes and say those words out loud to yourself. Look into your eyes in the mirror. So I hope you're using a mirror and not a phone, because there are two different things. One's a device, one's a mirror. And look in the mirror, look at yourself into your own eyes and say those words, say those phrases, those sentences out loud. You are X, you are this, you are that, right? Say it out loud, like you're speaking to yourself in the mirror. And once you've done that, type done in the chat box. Okay, Rafia, you're the first to say done. How did that feel? How did it feel to say that, those words, those sentences out loud to yourself? Sarah or Sara, how did that feel to say it out loud to yourself? I want you to get real. Let's be real here. We're here to learn, we're here to grow, we're here to move. And we can only do that when we're honest and real. It felt negative to say them. Right? It didn't feel good. It was heartbreaking. It brought tears to your eyes. Yes. Do you know, the reason why I'm getting you guys, you ladies, to say it out loud is because you don't understand how deep those words cut. Those words that you say to yourself about yourself in your head, you don't know how deep they cut until you hear them. In your head, you can almost justify them, give them a reason for why they are true. But when you say them, you hear how unkind they are, how really heartbreaking they are. And you know that if it was a friend saying those words, you would tell her something. What would you say to a friend? If your friend said those very same things that you just said to yourself about herself, what would you tell her? What would you say? Farheen says, looking at myself in the mirror, saying those things that I wrote, I am worthless. It was worthless. It was difficult and so hard. And I looked away from myself a few times. I felt deeply hurt, right? Found it difficult after I said the first one. I won't say those things. You wouldn't say those things to anyone, but you say them to yourself. You say them to the person who should matter to you the most, the human being who is alive, who should matter to you the most, those are the words you're uttering to her in your mind. All right. So if your friend said that, if her friend said that, Sarah says, she would say, no, you are a capable woman. You're a beautiful human being. Farida says, I will reassure her and tell her otherwise. Ultimately, you would let her know that those words aren't true. Right? You will let her know on some level that those self-deprecating phrases are untrue. Right? And yet, on some level, right now, you feel and think that those phrases are true about you. Let's get curious here. Let's get curious here. Who told you those things are true? Where did you hear those phrases that you're unworthy, that you're dumb, that you're ugly, that you can't do it, that you're not able to, that you don't have control of your emotions? Who told you that? Because you heard that from somewhere. Bingo. Bingo. Sometimes from parents, from a parent, from a spouse. Yeah. Someone told you those things. At some level, you've heard it from someone and you have absorbed that, internalized that, and made that as your truth. And you are going around navigating your days, your weeks, your months with these phrases plastered on you. You took someone else's words to be true. And I want you right now to check it. Are they true? What evidence do you have that makes those self-deprecating phrases true? What is the unshakable evidence that you have, undeniable evidence that you have that those phrases are true? What evidence do you have? So Habiba says some of the things are things that friends in my life have said to me. So again, someone else who have said these things. Rafia says, I just believe it was from me, but actually it wasn't, was it? Other people have said it. Yes, my love, absolutely. Habiba says, I know that they are not true, but constantly hearing them has made them stick. Constantly hearing them, you have decided they're true. And can you see the shift in my language there? Has made them stick, assumes that someone else did it, and has made them stick. But actually, let's take ownership and responsibility, and you decided that they are true. You decided that you're useless, you're worthless, you're ugly, incapable, etc., etc. You decided that. You decided to hold onto those phrases as truth. And you know the beauty of that? And I know it can sound harsh, like, what do you mean, Layinka? What do you mean? They said it, they made it, they da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, when you realize that you decided to make it true and you are the ones who believe it's true, you're the one who believes it's true, you have control to change that around 180. Because if it's someone else, you need to make them change that. But when you take ownership and responsibility, you are empowered with the power to change. You are empowered with the choice to choose differently for yourself. Right? Farida, you must hear the words from someone. Most of the time you've heard them, or you've taken meaning from something that's happened and decided it means that you're... So for instance, let's say that you fail an exam, yeah? Someone might not have made a comment about that specifically, but because of maybe an expectation or something like that, you decided that that failure of the exam means that you're dumb, means that you're incapable, right? Right. So it's so in some cases it is implicit. It's not as explicit, but you have taken that meaning on from something that's happened. Right. Now, you don't have evidence that is true. And the beauty of that is now you can choose differently for yourself. What would be true instead of those things that you have decided are true? You're dumb, you're stupid, you're incapable, etc. What is actually true? And let us bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the picture. Allah, Malikul Mulk, Al Khaliq, the greatest. Who did he put on this earth when he said kun for you to be here? Did he put someone dumb? Did he put someone who's useless? Did he put someone incapable? Is that what you're saying about Allah? Surely not. So what are you saying? What's the truth here? Especially that the way you see yourself is a reflection of how you see Allah, right? So what are you saying? What is true about you, really? Allah is perfect and he has made me to be perfect in how he wanted you to be. That's really beautiful. I know your name is not Ibrahim Shabir, but I don't know what your name is. So apologies, my lovely. I know that when some of you use family members' Zoom account, it comes up as a different name to your actual name. But what is the truth? What is the truth about who you really are and how you really are? Tayyiba. Ah, got it. What's the truth? What is the truth? Because you have evidence for the truth. Lack of relationship is your lack of relationship with Allah is a reason for your low self-worth. Just because you have a lack of a relationship with Allah, does that mean that your worth or your value is trash? Let me give you an example that I always give my clients. You take a nugget of gold. Yeah? You take a nugget of gold and you chuck it into some manure or under some trash and it gets buried in the trash. Would you say that that gold has become devalued because of the trash that it's buried under? Amara, I will absolutely address what you've just said. Thank you for sharing. It would be really useful to say what you disagree with, by the way, because I'm not sure what you're referring to. If you took that nugget of gold and chucked it into manure, does it reduce the value of that gold? No, it doesn't. You wouldn't suddenly say that because it's in manure, it now lacks worth, lacks value. You know, it's still a nugget of gold and it holds value and it has worth. Imagine seeing yourself like that, that you are a nugget of gold that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided to bring into this world. Your entire existence is a manifestation of a beautiful, beautiful sign of winning. The fact that that one sperm made it through to that egg, your beginning came from winning, right? And so what leads you to degrade yourself and to put yourself down, sis? Yes, you might not be perfect. Who is? Yes, you've been through some stuff. Okay, so is everyone else, right? Does that mean that your value and your worth is nothing? Does that mean that your value and worth is nothing because you've made mistakes, you've done some things, you've been through some things, people have said some things about you, and now that you are just trash? Really? Really? Amara says, I disagree that because of a lack of connection with Allah, you have low self-esteem. Okay, that's not in relation to anything I've said. And the reason why I'm bringing this for you ladies is to see those of you especially who are engaging in self-care activities, that's not necessarily a reflection of how you see yourself. And this is an invitation for you to check in with and make shifts to the way you view yourself. Because you may say that you're looking after yourself and still treat yourself like trash in your own head. You might be taking care of yourself externally, right? But are you taking care of yourself internally in the way you think and feel about yourself, the way you see and perceive yourself? Are you taking care of yourself for reals? Because that self-care, that is a manifestation and a reflection of your self-love. Okay, so I just want to check in with everyone. Everyone's still breathing. Everyone's still good. How are you feeling? Everyone okay? Allah gave each of us unconditional worth, and it exists. Oh, and it exists regardless of what others say or our productivity or our success. I believe that, but still find it so hard to remember sometimes. You know, look at the Quran. I always love just looking at the Quran as a reflection of so many learnings and lessons that we can take in how we go about with things for ourselves. It doesn't mean that you're bad or there's something wrong. It hasn't sunk in deeply. It's just a human condition. And that's why in the Quran, when Allah talks to us about things, He repeats Himself. He repeats it over the same themes, the same topics, over and over again in the Quran. Right? Not because He didn't say it, not because because He knew that we would forget. We are inherently forgetful. And that's why reminders benefit the believers. Reminders are useful and we will forget. And it's important that we have a means to remind ourselves. And just like the person who sat in front of you, I also benefit from being reminded because we are humans and we inherently forget. So it's okay that you forget. It doesn't mean that you haven't done the work. It doesn't mean that you're failing. It doesn't mean that, oh my God, I've gone backwards. No. It's just a reflection of your humanity. And inherently you will forget. And accepting that allows you to move forward and not push yourself down like, oh, look at you. Because listen, when I have my moments, yeah, and I might be having a meltdown with my 16-year-old son, and he's like, Mom, what's going on? Like, what's happening? I could at that moment push myself into a corner and say, what a failure. You teach women about how to control their state and blah, blah, blah. Look at you. What a mess. But no. I'm a human and I will forget and I will err and I will trip and I will fall and I will pick myself up again. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay. Powerful reminder. My thinking is a true manifestation of my self-love and self-care. I love that connection from the Quran. I appreciate you too, sis. We need, alhamdulillah. Yes, we do love the lessons that our 16-year-old sons give us. Yes, we do. Alhamdulillah. Okay, awesome. So who's ready for myth number two? Could taking care of the external self through self-care activities be the signs, symptoms of something going on with the internal self? Possibly. Possibly. Or they could be a band-aid and being used as a runaway mechanism to not have to face it. So some people feel down, instead of doing something about it, they go and buy themselves stuff. Retail therapy, you know, numbing behavior. That's not taking care of yourself, sis. That's numbing. That's running away from your mess. That's pretending. That's hiding. So that's why I say it's never a reflection of what of your, you know, your self-love, because some people do self-care activities as a way of running away from actually doing the necessary work to work on themselves. Okay. So the first myth is self-care activities mean that you love yourself. Okay, so they are not a reflection. So number two, self-love is all about telling yourself that you love yourself. Lies. It's not. You can tell yourself that you love yourself and still hate yourself. How many people have used positive affirmations? How many people use positive affirmations? Occasionally, did it for a while, didn't change a thing, Amara. It has no effect. I feel like I'm lying to myself. I was big on positive affirmations in my teenage years. Occasionally, I use positive affirmations, not use it before me. Okay. All right, cool. Now, anyone who's done any of my programs or anything with me in the past, you'll know that I always say that positive affirmations are not enough without doing the real work. So I want you to imagine you've got a bleeding wound here, and then suddenly you come and just wrap it. What's going to end up happening to the dressing? What's going to end up happening? You've got a bleeding wound, you put a dressing on it. What's going to happen? It's going to seep through. It's going to seep through, right? Right? Because you haven't taken care of the wound. You haven't done surgery. That's why my clients know that every time we have a group session, I call it the Inca surgery. Because we're going to go deep. There's no band-aids out here or bandages. You need to do the work first. You need to do the work, the internal work, the digging up the mess. Coming straight from a mess, like with mess, and just using positive affirmations in the mirror. I'm awesome. I'm amazing. I'm great. I'm this, I'm that. And then your mind is like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you feel pumped for like 3.5 seconds. Yeah. And then the real beliefs come through. Like, girlfriend, you're lying. You're lying. Lies, lies, right? You just feel like nothing works. It's not that nothing works. Positive affirmations actually have their place. I feel like they, and I believe in the work that I've done, I've done it, I've seen it, that they are only surface level. They aren't the solution to the problem of your self-hatred, of your self-loathing, of your low self-esteem or low self-worth. They are not the solution. They can be part of the solution, but they are only surface level. And I want to demonstrate with this to you real quick. I want you to just say, no, don't say it out loud. I want you to just think in your mind, you're such an idiot. You're such a fool in your mind. Yeah, over and over, just do it a couple of times. And in the chat box, once you're done in the chat box, just type done. You're such a fool. You're so useless. Whatever it might be, say it over in your head. I'm sure it wasn't hard, ladies. Okay. And now what I want you to do, I want you to now replace that with you're amazing, you're phenomenal, you're beautiful, and you're wonderful. Just repeat that over and over and over and over again in your head. And tell me what happens. What happens? Amara feels like laughing. They don't mix, no difference. I don't believe the positive things I'm saying. The negative things keep popping back up. Of course they do. The negative programming, the negative words will always reign supreme. Reign supreme. Right? They will always reign supreme. Your mind can't hold two opposing beliefs at the same time. The polar, the negative, the unuseful, unresourceful one will always win every single time. So no matter how much you hype yourself and say, no, I can do it, I can do it, yeah, yeah, I can do it, yes, I can do it, I can do it. That voice of doubt will come back if you allow it to. Now, I want you to allow that voice to come back. I want you to allow that, like, the mind trash to come back. And just like a radio, I want you to just lower it a little bit and make it sound like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Homer Simpson, okay? And as it sounds like Homer Simpson, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, just turn the volume down further until it switches off completely. And again, done in the chat box when you're done, and let me know once that's done. Now, Sarah, because you came first, and I hope I'm saying Sarah, I'm going to just switch between the two because I know it could be either one of those. How was that to turn it off? What was that like? What was that like to change it a little bit and then switch it all the way down until it clicked off? What was that like for you? Empowering, Amara says. Subhanallah indeed, huh? Subhanal Khaliq. Truly. Come on, everyone. Like, you guys couldn't have, like, been so bewildered by that you've gone quiet. Right, so when you heard it like Donald Duck, it was like, shut up, like me. don't be so dumb. Don't be so silly. Me, right? You can't take it seriously. You can't take it seriously when it's in a different voice. It sounded absolutely daft. Rafia, I would say change who it sounds like. Change it to Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Homer Simpson, Bart Simpson. Change it to someone else and see how easy it is to turn it off. See, when you hear your voice, right, saying those words, you believe it because it's in your tone, it's in your voice, it's in your head, right? But when it sounds like Donald Duck, when it sounds like Mickey Mouse, when it sounds like Homer Simpson or whoever it might be, you can't take it seriously because it sounds ridiculous, and you realize actually how ridiculous those words sound. And then it's so much easier to turn it off. Now, with it off, I want you now, right? I want you now to put those good words back in. So, you're amazing, you're lovable, you're incredible, you're beautiful. Bring it all back. Yeah, bring all of that back. And with those words back, I want you to adjust the sound adjust the tone, adjust the volume of those words so they sound like someone who loves you and cares for you deeply. So a voice, tone, the voice, tone, volume, pitch of someone who cares and loves for you deeply. Loves and cares for you deeply. And how does it feel hearing it like that? And I'm not saying it needs to be any particular person, by the way. But you know the tone of love for you. You know the tone of care for you. You know the tone of consideration for you and what you would be, what you would determine to be a tone of love and consideration and care. So it doesn't, you don't need to, it doesn't need to be an actual person at all. So when I do it, I don't do it in anyone else's tone, but I do it in a tone that is right for me, that feels like love, that feels like care, that feels like consideration. Because you could have people who love and care for you and they don't talk to you in that way, right? But you know what feels like care, what feels like love, what feels like consideration. Okay, so change that up, Laura, to match that for yourself. And the beautiful thing is, it doesn't, because it's not someone, you can choose for yourself. You don't need to, you know, it doesn't need to be someone else. Sada says, it brought a huge smile to my face and a lot of tears, and I felt my heart just warm, right? That feels good. That feels good. It feels beautiful. It's deeper than just a bland old positive affirmation. It's you taking care of yourself in a deeply loving way through the words that you use in your head. And I always say to clients, it's not about just aiming to override the negative with the positive. It's about actually allowing yourself to shut down that negative so that you can hear the positive. And I don't believe that's true, Tayyiba. I do not believe that you can't. And the reason why I say I don't believe that you can't is because the fact that anyone can do it is, it's Allah has given you the ability. Allah Kareem. Allah has given us the ability. There's a block. Let's own there's a block there, but it doesn't mean that you don't have the ability to, which is the word can't. Can't is a reflection of ability. Can I or can't I? Allah has given you ability to do this. He's given you such great power over your own mind, subhanAllah. Maybe you're not accustomed to it. Maybe there's a block. Maybe there's a part of you that doesn't even want to believe it. That might be the case. Do you have the ability to? Yes, you do. You absolutely do have the ability. Okay? So you might be struggling and finding it a challenge. That's okay. That's okay. But you do have the ability to do it. Okay, so rounding ourselves back to self-love. Self-love is not just about telling yourself that you love yourself. It's about paying attention really to what you are telling yourself. It's not about positive affirmations. It's about checking in with yourself and what you are saying about yourself. Allowing yourself to use that particular tool to check in with any particular words that you might be using, phrases that you might be using, and shutting them down. Of course, it's not the real deep inner work, but it's still a tool to use to shut it down and to allow yourself to take back control. Because what we don't realize is that for most of us, these words are running on autopilot and they are running your day. They are running your life. They are running what you are saying is possible for you. They are running what you are going for or not going for, what you are allowing for yourself or not allowing for yourself. When you tell yourself you're useless and you're worthless, you will allow people to treat you that way. When you believe that you are trash, you will allow people to treat you that way. When you believe that you aren't worthy, you won't even stand up for your rights. You won't use your voice to express your needs. So it is about checking in with what you are saying, what you are believing about yourself, because they will be, those words will be a reflection in your life, and there will be a reflection in the way people treat you. The third myth, are you ready? Are you ready for the third and final myth about self-love? Number three, loving yourself. I'm going to address that towards the end. I know, that's why like everyone's quiet now because they're processing. It's like, oh, snap. Number three, the third myth is that loving yourself means others will love you too. That's a myth. You loving yourself does not mean that others will treat you with the love and the consideration that you deserve. And the reason why I want to bring this is because I have found in my time in the work that I do that people often, women specifically, often get into the realm of loving themselves and working on their love so that they can gain the love of their spouse. But just because you love yourself, it doesn't mean that someone will love you or even treat you in the way that you deserve. It doesn't mean that they will. You have zero control over that. And so I always say to sisters, love yourself because you are deserving to love yourself. You are deserving of that love from yourself, not as a means for others to love you and to treat you in the way you want to be treated. Love yourself because you are worthy of that, point blank, period. Not because of someone else. Okay? Not because you want someone else to show up for you in a certain way. If you are inadvertently trying to get to someone, you know, someone to treat you some way, so you think, yeah, let me just, you know, act confident and love myself, it's not going to work. Love yourself for yourself. Love yourself because you are worthy of it. Love yourself because you are a sign of Allah. Love yourself because you are a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm gonna leave you with that. Just a second. Just hold on to that one for a second. Because that one there, that piece right there, that's the nugget. That is the one. Out of everything that I've shared today, you could legit just throw everything to the wall, but I want you to walk away with that specifically. To love yourself because you are a sign of the Lord of the worlds. And He has favored you. He says it in the Quran. He has favored you above all His creation, you. Yes, specifically you. The collective, us, and you specifically, He has favored you specifically over all the gazillion, million, billion creation that we have, that we know, that we don't know, that exists, right? He has favored you. And because he has favored you, you are inherently worthy of love, loving yourself. And I say that as I say that because when we speak of being worthy of love, we always think it has to be from another human being. What about the human being you see in your reflection? What about her? You seek it from him, you seek it from them, you seek it from this, you seek it from that. What about from yourself? And another thing that I want to add here is people's reflection, people's treatment of you is not a reflection of your worth. How people treat you, the love or the lack of love they give you is not a reflection of your worth and your value at all. Because people treating you like trash, you'll think that you are trash, you're not. It's people who are treating you like trash. Okay? Lots to process out here. And I do want to leave you with the last reminder that how you treat yourself, not externally, how you treat yourself internally is a reflection of your self-love. So you can do all the things, buy all the things. You can have the husband, you can have the children, you can have all the things, right? But it's not about that or them. It's all about here and here. What you are doing here for yourself, to yourself, is truly a manifestation and reflection of your love for yourself. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us all to love ourselves as his sign, and that we are able to show up in the world from a place of loving ourselves. And that permeates all the decisions that we make. It leads to what we focus on, what we choose for ourselves, what we don't choose for ourselves. And that he takes us when he is pleased with us. Allahumma ameen ya rabbal alameen. Jazakumullahu khair, ladies. It has been an honor and a privilege to have this time with you, to bring some truths, break down those myths. Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khairan. Yeah, Layinka, thank you so, so, so much for that, mashallah. I think there is lots to process for everyone. So alhamdulillah, it's a good thing that there is a recording of this. And it's also available for you guys to watch in the Facebook group as well, inshallah. Any last words for us, Layinka, before we close up this session? Just want to say jazakallah khairan for always being honest with us and being, you know, that auntie. She's not really an auntie, but you know that it has to be an auntie figure who's kind of like calling you out, you know, because it just has to be, mashallah.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's like you can't really, well, I'm not young, you know. I know I look it, but I'm not.
I feel like you're my auntie, but you're not my auntie because you're younger than me. But still, it's the auntie energy, you know.
Alhamdulillah. You know what? I think it comes from me. I do a lot of this from looking at my previous self, right? And those of you who, most of you don't know that my middle name is Rahma, and my old self always used to go by that name. Whenever I put something out, whenever I'm doing something, it's always with Dear Rahma. Because I'm talking to her, that person who has been on the journey over the last few, you know, 4 or 5 years, and just saying things that I wish someone had pulled me up and said, right? Told like, come and sit down, let's talk, right? Yeah. These are the things that I share. It comes from that place, and I do want to say, I know that. Those of you who have followed me, you know that I just spit truth. I just keep it 100. Alhamdulillah, my team and I have brought out a book of Liyinka Truths, 25 Liyinka Truths. That has also an audio companion, so you can hear my voice, tell you what you need to hear, you know. So if you want access to that, you can just go to leeinkasani.com/truths, and that's immediately available, inshallah. It comes with the book, comes with journaling space, because I ask the questions, you know, and get you to move.
Scuttles off over to the internet with leeinka.com/truths, scuttles over secretly. Yes, ladies, y'all know you won't get that. Will you please post the link in the Facebook group for the attendees to be able to access it? And of course, we will email it out to the list as well, inshallah. Wonderful. May Allah bless all the work that you continue to do and allow you to continue to do that work. You know I love you for the sake of Allah, and I know that everybody here does as well, mashallah. Jazakallah khairan for sharing this space with us. And we love you.
We love you too. I love you too.
Jazakallah khairan. Everyone, take a break for the next session, inshallah. And I will see you back here for our next session. I believe it's the final session of the day. Am I right? Am I dreaming? It is the final session of today. No, we have two more today.
Two more.
We have Afra at 5 UK time for postpartum. And we have Sister Raisa at 7 for the divorcees. So don't miss those, inshallah, guys. We'll see you in the Facebook group. Jazakumallahu khairan. Subhanak Allahumma Rabbana bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Wa astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.